Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Wounded and Bruised, Purposefully.
19, when you have the word, amen, say, I have the word, I have the word. Philippians chapter number 1, you need a Bible to use, just put your hand up. Amen. Somebody will get you a Bible to use while you're here. Philippians chapter number 1, amen, verse 1 through 19. Let's read it. And if I happen to drop out, continue to read. Amen. For the word of the Lord is blessed. Philippians chapter number 1, one of the epistles that Paul wrote while he was bound, amen, in a prison. Amen. They call them prison epistles. All right. Philippians chapter number 1, verse 1 through 19. Let's read. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, and to the overseers and to the deacons, grace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, and making prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Continue.
Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ and most of the brethren in the Lord. Having become confident by my chains, I'm much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Verse number 12 in the King James, it says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. For I know that, in verse 19 he says, for I know this shall turn into my salvation through my prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Let me go a little further. In verse number 20 it says, according to my external earnest expectation and my hope, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed. That's profound. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but that which all boldness has always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it is magnified in my body, whether it is magnified in my life or in my death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed on my heart to minister this morning. For these next few moments, God, make me an oracle. Let me speak your truth, God. Let me share it in a way, God, that the ears of the hearer would, oh God, understand, and the hearts would believe. Powerful passage written from a prisoner for the gospel. And he says, the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Let me now articulate it, and with the points of application, let me say it in a way that regardless of what we're experiencing, crossover, even dangerous, would be passable, Lord. Speak, Lord, and bind the hands of the enemy, Lord. Whenever the message and the word of the Lord goes forth, the enemy, Lord, thoughts to, oh God, calls to not to hear and not to receive and not to be planted on good soil, God. But bind the hands of the enemy right now, Lord, that this word could be sown on good soil, Lord. The hearts would receive and it would be watered, and then it would give life and it would give us fruit that remain, Lord. Speak, Lord. Let our meditation be acceptable. Speak, Lord, and what we say, Lord, now give it power, Lord. Speak, Lord. And change everything that been intended for evil, that it work for our good, Lord. Speak, Lord, and let your truth be declared, and we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the praise, and we'll give the honor. And all God's people said amen and amen. For a few minutes this morning, as the announcement told you, I want to talk about wounded and bruised purposely. Wounded, bruised purposely. Do me a favor, catch somebody by the hand and say, neighbor, you've been wounded. You've been bruised. Tell them it's purposeful. Yeah. I'm going to let it settle a minute, because these are not the kind of message that are preached in a modern day church, that you grab it and you have it and you name it and you get it and you're going to live your best life now. This is the one you're going to have to ponder and you got to think about. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. They that live godly shall suffer. So for a few moments, I want to talk about wounded and bruised purposely. How we live, it becomes simplified when we decide what we believe about the Holy Scriptures. Stay with me, because I'm going somewhere, but I really don't want to take all day getting there. Because I know there's some people in here up under that beautiful dress they got on. They've been bruised. I'm talking about that man with that nice suit he got on, with them nice jeans or whatever he has on, nice slacks. He's got some bruises. And the truth of the matter is, we prefer to hide scars than let people see our scars and see our bruises. But how we live, it becomes simplified when we decide what do we believe about the Holy Scriptures. Come on, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what do you believe about the Holy Scriptures? Have y'all discovered yet that we have a belief system in here about the Holy Scriptures, and then we got another belief scriptures when we get out there? Somewhere God's trying to mesh that what we believe in here, we believe out there. And he's really trying to get us to a place that through hard trials and tribulation that our belief system don't change. Let somebody say, I'm going through something, but I still believe God. Holden, if you keep on knowing that, son, I'm going to work this message out. We got a belief system in here, but then we got a belief system out there. And God's trying to keep living and keep us moving and keep, amen, pouring unto us until our belief system match. And I'm going to say again, especially when life ain't so rosy. When we don't know how this thing going to work out, and we don't know how this is going to turn out, and we got bad news on the line, that our belief system is still the same. So how we live is simplified once we determine what we believe about the Holy Scriptures. Are they true or are they untrue? Are they true or are they untrue? Is Jesus Christ of the Bible who Scriptures say he is? Is he the Savior of the world for real? Or more importantly, is he the Savior of me and my house? Ask your neighbor, is he the Savior for real? Have he saved? saved you from a miserable life of sin, or still are you still tipping back every now and then because it ain't so miserable? He gonna keep on working us until he becomes savior of the world and the savior of me and my house. What do you really believe about the scriptures? Are they true or are they untrue? Romans 8 and 28, it says that we do know that all, and we know that for those who love God, and I'm reading out the ESV and then I'll come back to King James a little later, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he did also predestinate and conform to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And we do know that all things work together for good. The question becomes, do we really believe this? Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, is all your stuff working together for your good? Is it? Life is going to become simplified when you determine you really believe it or you don't believe it. The complication is in our skepticism. The complication is in us moving into post-structuralism, and you got to go into my writings to figure out what I'm talking about here. We've changed language, and what used to mean good don't mean good anymore, and what used to mean bad. So we've gone through what they call post-structuralism. Now new words have new meanings. And now we've deconstructed simple truths like the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And now we've so complicated, we're trying to figure out how could he really be my shepherd? How can I not want? And we forgot that he told Moses a long time ago, I am who I am. I'll be anything I want to be. So what do we really believe about the simple truths of the Bible? Life becomes much simpler when we decide what we believe. The writer of the book of Philippians believe this and other scriptures to be so true. The writer of the book, he believed it so much that he was willing to lay his life down for what he believed. He laid his life down in complete obedience. This is Apostle Paul, because he believed every word written and spoken was true. Ask y'all a question this morning. Do you believe it enough to lay your life down for it? Because there are certain levels of belief. And then there's a place that we totally trust him, that he's good and perfect in all of his ways, and he's always just. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you believe it enough to lay your life down for it? And without faith, is it impossible to please him? For whoever draw near to God must first believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of those that seek him. Do we believe enough to lay our lives down? We can sing, the life I have is not my own, and all of that stuff. We can sing it, but there comes a place in life that we got to do it. And many under the sound of my voice will enter into the season that God said, I need you to lay your life down if you believe what I'm teaching you. But without faith, is it impossible to please him? Because whoever draws near to God must first believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of them that seek him. Apostle Paul believed these principles enough that he laid his life down. He told us he was a Jew of all Jews. He told us he was of the Pharisaic sect. He told us that I went about killing Christians, and then one day on the Romans road, a light shined so bright that I had to lay my life down. We don't lay our lives down until that light shines bright enough. We don't, some of us, why we have not laid our lives down because we haven't seen that light shine bright enough. But Apostle Paul laid his life down, and for the rest of his life, for the rest of his life, he was willing to be wounded. He was willing to be bruised. Let's look at that real quickly. He said in Galatians 6, I'm crucified with Christ, I no longer live. But let's go over into Acts chapter number 20. When you have Acts chapter 20, I'm going to show you how he lays his life down. And then I'm going to give you five things and then I'm going to be done. In Acts chapter number 20, in verse number 22, and stay with me, Holden, because I'm almost there. He says, and now, behold, I go bound in the spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. How many of us will go places that we don't know what's going to happen when we get there? Paul said, I don't know the things that are going to save the Holy Ghost. Listen what? Save the Holy Ghost written in every city, said, bonds and afflictions abide me. He said, what's waiting for me where I'm going are bounds and bonds and affliction. But listen what he's saying. The inference is, but I'm going anyway. Come on, somebody say that with me. But I'm going anyway. But none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom shall see my face no more. He had totally laid his life down. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, have you totally laid your life down? We lay our lives down, we got to be willing to enter into new seasons. When we lay our lives down, we got to be willing to let go of old mindsets. Ask your neighbor one more time, have you laid your life down? If you're willing to lay your life down, you got to be willing to go into another season. You got to be willing to let go old mindsets. Can I go a little bit deeper and then I'm going to get to my point? Whenever you're ready to go where God is leading you, you got to get out of victim mentality. Because Apostle Paul is beginning to go places and he says, bonds and afflictions are awaiting me. So he had to get out of woe is me mentality before he went where God was taking him. Only way we get out of victim mentality is we take on a victorious mentality. Somebody say, I am victorious. That means when we're at a bad situation at work, we're at a bad situation at work, but we are not a bad situation. I am victorious. I'll say this again because I want you to get it. In order to go where God wants us to go, we got to be willing to go into new seasons. We got to be willing to let go of old mindsets. And one of the mindsets that I know we must let go is the victim mentality mindset. Why are they doing it to me at work? Why my family treating me like this? Why ain't nobody calling me? Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got to let all of that go. You got to let all of that go. You got to take on a victorious mindset. You got to take on a conquering mindset. You got to take on an overcoming mindset that this came, but it came to pass. God told me to make sure I told this point very well. We cannot go into bruised and wounded purposely until we get over the victim mindset. Because too many of us is, woe is me. Do y'all know what they did to me? Do y'all know what they said to me? Too many of us are ready to quit jobs because what's going on the job. And that job is an assignment. And if God wants you there, you don't need to leave. Okay, I'm glad I got three people saying that's right. Too many people are left ready for us to quit our families because we got a rift going with one of our brothers. And God said, no. Through the rift, I'm going to take you to the crossover. And through the crossover, I'm going to bring both of y'all into another level. I need y'all to lean in this morning. I need y'all to come a little bit closer. Because too many of us got the victim mindset. And in order to go to being bruised and wounded purposely, you got to get over the victim mindset. You got to be able to say the fiery furnaces. I feel like preaching now, y'all, so I don't know how long this is going to take. You got to be able to say the fiery furnace is built for me. You got to be able to say the lions can't eat me. You got to say whatever my plight. I've learned to say it is well. It is well with my soul. Come on, touch somebody. Lay hands on somebody. Say, I pray by the end of service, you get over the victim mindset. Can you now be parading a victim mindset? Listen. God's trying to show us that the bruising and the wounded was purposeful. I know it don't sound, that don't seem like that should go together, do it? Why would a good God let us go through wounds? And why would a good God let us go through bruises? Okay, Jacob, come a little bit closer because he's trying to move us from Jacob to Israel. God, I wish I had some Bible scholar. Amen. Wounded and bruises comes to take us from Jacob to Israel. And some of us, where we're going, we're not going to get there any other way until we're bruised, until we're wounded. And then we're going to find out how powerful grace is. Then we're going to find out how powerful grace is. And we're going to find out how good he really is. Y'all ain't saying that. Until you've been through a good wounded and a good bruising, you don't know how good of a healer he really is. So in order to get what God wants, we got to go to new season. We got to get rid of old mindsets. Somebody sent me real loud, old mindsets must go. And this is the one that I'm talking about. You are not a victim. You are a victor. You are an overcomer. You are a conqueror. I don't care what comes against you. I don't care what happens. None of these things move me. Wish I had time, I'd walk you through all the stuff that Paul starts talking about, thrice beaten and being cast to the beasts at Ephesus. He had so much to complain about, but he complained about absolutely nothing. Five things, and I get to my point. Somebody says, say this, we say, wounded and bruised purposefully. Number one, if we're going to be wounded and bruised purposely, number one, once we're promoted, never leave the posture of being a servant of Jesus Christ. Once we are being promoted, never leave the posture of being a servant. When Paul introduces this text, the first thing he says about himself, he doesn't say I'm an apostle. He doesn't say I'm being in the third heaven. He doesn't talk about I'm all of this. The first thing he said is a servant of Jesus Christ. You're going to get your promotion. And if you want to be able to handle the wounded and the bruising that's going to come with the promotion, remain a servant. Guess what? The servant is not above his master. And if they did it to Jesus, why am I so bothered now they're doing it to me? But when you move from being a servant, you start asking questions. Why would God let anything like this happen to me? But when you remain a servant as he suffered, I shall suffer. But after suffering as he reigned, so shall I reign. Some of us get promoted and we are no longer servants. You don't have to say anything. Some of us get promoted and we no longer serve. It now gives us exclusive to do stuff that the Bible told us don't do. No. With your promotion, remain a servant. And the servant is not above his masters. Number two, prayer is what enables believers to always finish well whatever they start. Number two, prayer is what enables believers to always finish well whatever they start. Y'all listen to me real quick, real clearly. It's time out for the devil, demons, witches, warlocks, ugly folks, nasty folks running us off from everywhere. Let me go that a little deeper because y'all ain't saying nothing. It's time out for witches, warlocks, devils, demons, people with stank breath, and all that other stuff. We go in the grocery store. Somebody got bad breath. Now we got to find another grocery store. Devil's a liar. We go to a job. 2 days. Somebody don't like us. God telling us to find another job. No. Prayer is what enables believers to finish well whatever we started. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. I don't care what it is I start. If I start a hot dog saying, I'm going to finish well with my selling my hot dog. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but I'm going to keep preaching, all right? I don't care if I get in a marriage when I'm going to finish well in that marriage, raising my kids. I'm going to finish well. The devil cannot do all this stuff that we said he's doing. And I know what it is. We ain't praying like we should. Prayerlessness causes us to enter into temptation. And the enemy love when we quit. One more thing. The enemy love when we quit. One more thing. Somebody say, I'm going to finish well. I'm finished well. I don't care what it is. I'm going to finish well. I started college. I don't even want to tell y'all the year I started my undergraduate work. I don't even want to tell y'all. Long time ago, but I finished well. The race is not given to the swift, but the strong. And y'all better please hear me. The enemy keeps trying to get us to quit. One more thing, and I'm preaching right to you. And if you're not careful, you're going to come up with some crazy prophetic explanation why you quitting. One more thing, and God is saying, no, get on your knees and pray, and he will give you enduring power. He will give you strength, and having done all to stand, you'll be able to stand and finish. Being confident in this thing that he that began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Prayer enables us to finish well.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. Hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.